what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to have a good conversation with the family tonight. The phone number, it's daytime. I'm talking about tonight. It ain't even late. It's still early. But the phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. That's the number to call in. I will take a couple of calls a little later. We're going to chop up a little game about the Morgan Freeman and Harvey Weinstein situation. So y'all don't go nowhere. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. And we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, check out the black-owned business called AshKicken.com. They have all-natural health and beauty and fragrance products. Their products like body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, unique incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more are the best in the business. So go to AshKicken.com. That's AshKicken.com. You know, our youth, especially our communities, are plagued with chronic diseases at an enormous rate. From diabetes, heart disease, cancer, obesity, the whole nine yards, we need to do something about it. You can help lower chronic disease rates and help kids learn about health by investing in Body Cycle. Now, this is a health education game app for kids 12 and up. You can go to Kickstarter.com, search Body Cycle, or go to healthneurotics.com. NEUROTICS, or go to Instagram at Health Neurotics, and there's a link in the bio that you can click. The campaign on Kickstarter ends on July 3rd, 2018, so get involved, healthneurotics.com.
Eric Mitchell from Sancori presents an exclusive one-off historical event in Birmingham with lectures from Dr. Joy DeGroote, the acclaimed author of Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, and the film director and author Tariq Nasheed on Sunday, 17th of June, 2018 at the Hope Suite Villa Park B66HE. Dr. Joy DeGroote will present a dynamic lecture about the legacy of white supremacy and its impact and how to disrupt systems of oppression and heal our communities. This presentation will also cover the history of white supremacy and its continued systemic influence in every major institution. Tariq Nasheed, a relationship expert, will lecture on the outside influences that sabotage black male and female relationships, solutions for stronger black relationships, and issues related to colorism. Event starts at 3:30 p.m. and finishes 10 p.m. This is a ticket-only event. Costs £25 plus booking fee. Tickets from Hatman Store and www.trauma-healing.eventbrite.co.uk. Contact Eric on 07837-620967. Join us. Be part of history in the making. Be the healing.
Hey, what's up, family? Have you ever considered making money from your phone? Well, nowadays, it's as simple as pressing a button. You need to check out my dude, Elijah, over at phoneappmoney.com. He has extensive experience with rideshare and delivery apps like Uber, Uber Eats, Lyft, Postmates, just to name a few. And he has several YouTube videos that will teach you how to use these apps as a source of part-time or full-time income. So, yo, you want to get that money up right now? Go to phoneappmoney.com right now to start making money on your phone.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispy, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
Ha 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 Kristen Tent's new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
Now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? We are back. We are back right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. I know I'm doing this show late this week again. I was busy, but before I go into that, let me let y'all know about Black Social. That's a black networking app that allows you easy ways to stay connected with people who matter the most in your life. Connect with large or small groups of people or discover the latest products. That's Black Social. It's available on iOS and Android. And also, today's show is brought to you by the Bennu Project, the B-E-N-N-U Project. That's a novel that has the vibe of a suspense mystery with metaphors of science fiction and accuracy of historical relevance, depicting the rise and fall of several Nile Valley civilizations. My dude Tyrone Gibbons wrote that book. You can go to his website, tyronegibbons.com. You can get the book, The Bennu Project, on paperback or ebook form at Amazon. Follow my people on Twitter and Facebook at The Bennu Project. The Bennu, B-E-N-N-U Project. All right. But like I said, I'm here, ready to chop it up with the family. Glad to have everybody tuning in midday. A lot of stuff we're going to hit up. A lot of stuff we're going to discuss. And again, I apologize for doing the show late this week. I did it last Friday, too. I've been in the studio. We're knocking out that Mink Slide album, and it's coming along very, very lovely. And a lot of folks who follow me on Instagram, because I go live in the studio a lot, people are loving the tracks. And a lot of times I'm in the studio till like 2 and 3 o'clock in the fucking morning. Like the other day, I was we're at the studio, and I'm up at... It's a real big studio in Hollywood, and there's several different rooms, so you have a lot of different people in different rooms. Like one room, Lil Pump is in one room. The other night was T-Pain. He was in a room next to mine, and I was chopping it up with him in my session, the Mink Slide session. You know, I'm squared on the motherfucker. We got water and cookies and shit, and over in, I go into T-Pain session, they got like a open bar. They got chicks up in there. They got blunts, bags of weed. They got a designated blunt roller in the corner. It's a fucking club in this nigga shit, with bottles of Hennessy and Ciroc, all just a cloud of smoke. And I go back to my session, it's like I'm recording an album with Kurt Franklin and my shit. You dig? But that's why I'm up late. I don't get to the crib till like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I got the somebody in the chat room. Like, I got the sober studio. I got the drug-free studio. That's why I said dry snitching. Nigga, weed is very legal out here in California, dude. Weed is very legal out here. You can smoke out here all day, so it ain't snitching. Nigga, weed is very legal here. That is not snitching. Are you snitching on some shit that's legal? Well, y'all niggas don't know the laws in California? Really? Nigga, you can come out here and just smoke till you choke. It ain't nothing gonna happen. That shit is legal as hell out here, dude. So they ain't snitching. I ain't saying niggas are doing anything illegal. They doing some shit that's legal. They can do that. You dig? I'm just saying how they having a damn party in there. That's not snitching. They ain't having a big fucking party. And I'm like, I gotta go back to my square shit, which is cool. You dig? But it is what it is. Now, we got to get into this whole thing with Harvey Weinstein. He was allowed to turn himself in today. He did the perp walk. You know, they gave him a heads up. They were like, hey, Harvey, we're going to arrest you. So they gave the media a heads up. They gave him a heads up so he can prepare, you know, make a little deal. They got a deal going beforehand. So with the Harvey Weinstein thing, you know, for those who don't know, he's a movie producer. I mean, this guy has had years and years and years of complaints about sexual assault, and he got charged with rape. I mean, these are some serious charges, but it's some shit that's been going on for a long time. And there's even audio of him that appears to be him trying to rape a chick. So they've been bugging women, bugging by wiring, meaning putting wires on women and having them get around dude and have him confess to shit. So they've been on his ass for a minute, but they haven't done anything. And there's been an outcry, especially from people from the melanoid community, like, hey, you guys are throwing Cosby under the bus for accusations that have never been proven, and Cosby never confessed, despite that I'm white and I say so lie, that he confessed to drugging women, which is a complete lie. He never confessed, but it's just the I'm white and I say so lie. So they convicted Cosby on zero evidence. Zero. Zero evidence. But you got this guy, Harvey, with strong evidence and A-list people accusing him at the time that he's doing this stuff. So they got him doing the perp walk. And, you know, we assume that it's going to be a little slap on the wrist. They've already worked out a little deal. They're just going to go through the motions to make it seem like, okay, this whole Me Too sexual harassment thing ain't a racial thing. Look at what we're doing to Harvey Weinstein, but he done already cut some kind of deal. You can best believe that. I doubt if he gets any kind of jail time. I really doubt that. But the thing is what they're doing. Right before they had Harvey do the perp walk, they came out with accusations about Morgan Freeman. All of a sudden, it shocked everybody. They said, Morgan Freeman has been accused by 8 women of sexually inappropriate behavior. Also, that was the number one trending thing, Morgan Freeman. And this is the thing. This is the sexual harassment sleight of hand. This is them going out of their way to put a black face on this sexual harassment thing. See, that's where the money is. The money is not really getting after all these white guys. The money is putting a black face on it. And you have all of these other white males in Hollywood that's funding all of the media spin. Because understand, they control the media. They control what's being said in the media. They control all this stuff. So them coming up with these bogus accusations about Morgan Freeman right around the same time as Harvey Weinstein, they're not going to let a white dude go down without having a black dude they can attach. That's the thing now. This is very important for black folks to understand. This is just I'm white and I say so bullshit. And this should be a wake-up call to more Negroes who talk all that let's let racism go. Remember Morgan Freeman? Morgan Freeman had made a career out of talking about we need to stop talking about racism. Let me let y'all hear some old Morgan Freeman talk about racism. Now, I wouldn't put Morgan on the coon train, but he didn't get on the train, but he had a ticket for the fucking train. I don't think he caught the train, but he had a standby ticket for the coon train. All right? Morgan has had a standby ticket for the coon train. He never fully got on it, but I want y'all to listen to this.
Do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution or either a mindset that you can't
today?
Or cannot? Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't. Hey, you and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it? Put your mind to what you want to do and go for that. It's kind of like religion to me. It's a good excuse for not getting there.
You know, I said, and it's probably get me in trouble, but I said to some of my colleagues recently, so I know that it's an issue, but it seems like every single day on television I'm talking about race, and it's because of the news cycle, it's in the news, but sometimes I get so tired of talking about it, I want to just go, this is over, can we move on?
And if you talk about it, it exists.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like it exists and we refuse to talk about it, But making it a bigger issue than it needs to be is the problem we have.
So Morgan said making race a bigger issue than it needs to be, that's the problem. Oh, really, Morgan? Well, they done did the March of the Penguins on your ass. Do you feel like that now, Morgan? See, y'all gonna have to get off this whole thing where I've made it and I've got me some money and the white folks love me. So why we gotta talk about race? Y'all get on that bullshit if you want to, and they flip on you. Morgan thought, okay, hell, I'm 103 years old. Hell, I done made it to the end of my life damn near. Racism didn't affect me. They were like, oh, hold my beer. The white supremacist said, hold my Klan hat. You thought you were about to get out the game clean, didn't you, Morgan? I ain't saying you were on the coon train, Morgan. Morgan knew how to pepper his words right so he don't get right there on the coon train. But boy, you had a ticket, Morgan. Morgan, you had a ticket, and Morgan, you know better. Morgan, you are 108 years old. Nigga, you were on the Underground fucking Railroad, so you know real racism, Morgan. Don't even play that, dude. Morgan, you grew up with Harriet Tubman, nigga. You know better than to say some shit like that. Morgan, you cannot be that old and be naive. You are not naive, Morgan. You know better. You were soft-shoeing, Morgan, and I like Morgan Freeman, but Morgan, you were soft-shoeing, my brother. Brother, you were soft-shoeing. I'm like, damn, brother. You helped George Washington pick the cherries off the cherry tree, my nigga. You older than a motherfucker. You know racism. You grew up in Jim Crow. What are you talking about? Racism, if we talk about it, it won't exist. Nigga, please. Man, come on, dude. Dude, you grew up with Kunta Kinte. Talking about if we don't talk about it, it don't exist. Dude, you knew you were soft shoeing, Morgan. You don't get to be that old and not experience racism or white supremacy. You know better, Morgan. My God. And now it's biting you in the ass. Y'all old school cats, y'all think y'all gonna get on the, tap your way up out the game and ain't nothing gonna affect you. Like Eddie Griffin said, y'all ain't getting out the game clean. You're not getting out the game clean. Morgan has always been old. I've never seen Morgan young. I remember Morgan growing up as a child watching The Electric Company. How many of y'all old enough to remember that? The Electric Company used to come on PBS. He was Easy Reader. That was his name on I grew up on fucking Morgan Freeman. I've been watching Morgan Freeman since I was 3. That nigga was 102 then. He's always been old. You can't be that old and not experience racism. You cannot be that fucking old and not experience racism and sit up here and talk about, it doesn't affect me. We shouldn't talk about it. If we talk about it, it exists. Dude. This nigga was an original Garveyite. Come on, Morgan. Damn. But the thing is, what's interesting, they're going out of their way. Every time they get a white person, they are always making this false equivalency with a black person. And understand the accusations against Morgan. If you want to know what utter bullshit is, let me let y'all hear a clip of one of the people making an accusation. Hold on one second. Oh, they were talking about the actual accusations. And this is an example of some of the sexual inappropriateness that they were talking about with Morgan Freeman. They were on one of those CNN shows. These are some women. I don't know who they are. They get these commentators on the show. But this is the sexually inappropriate behavior that Morgan Freeman is being thrown under the bus for. Okay, listen to this.
It was even happening when the cameras were rolling. 3 individuals who attended a birthday party thrown for Morgan Freeman at his production company claimed that staffers were asked to stand in a circle, and Freeman allegedly walked up to the women, looked them up and down, stood within an inch of their face, and then moved on to the next woman. A source who was there said there was, quote, definitely sexual undertones to the incident.
Did you hear that? Now, Harvey Weinstein, raping motherfuckers, and they got audio of him talking about raping somebody or trying to rape somebody. I mean, real shit. They got real evidence, real audio of this dude trying to rape somebody. Morgan Freeman, one of the accusations is he got a bunch of women in the room or at his production company, had them stand up, had the women stand up. He walked up to them, looked them up and down, and walked off, and that had sexual undertones. And they're trying to compare that to these white dudes out here raping motherfuckers left and right. I mean, this is some I'm white and I say so shit. That's that Jim Crow. That's that Emmett Till. You reckless eyeballing. Sexual undertones because he looked at him? See, y'all think that the I'm white and I say so rule don't apply to you. No matter what you do, these white supremacists can spin it. You are in a system of white supremacy. They can spin this thing any way they want to spin it. Your existence, they can criminalize that. Now, they're talking about taking Morgan's SAG awards and all his awards just on that. Some white supremacists got together and said, okay, he was looking at women with sexual undertones, so that's equivalent to Harvey Weinstein raping some damn body. Well, see, well, Morgan, you said you shouldn't talk about rape. Well, you didn't talk about it. And now, well, you shouldn't talk about racism, rather. Morgan, you said you shouldn't talk about racism and it won't exist. But now it's existing, brother. It's existing with you now. You dig? But this is how desperate these white supremacists are. Notice they've always made these false equivalencies, like with Roman Polanski. Now, Roman Polanski raped a kid. That's proven. That's why he had to skip the country. And whenever they try to reprimand Roman, they got to throw in Cosby. That's why they the Oscars, they stripped the membership of Roman Polanski and Bill Cosby. You notice that sleight of hand they keep on doing. Anytime they mention a white dude, they got to throw a black dude in there with them. It's Roman Polanski and Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, and Morgan Freeman. They keep doing that sleight of hand to give that false equivalency so they can make black men the face of the sexual harassment movement, because that's what these white feminist groups have always done. With Woody Allen did a whole bunch of slick shit, but they anytime Woody Allen's name is mentioned, Woody Allen and Bill Cosby. And speaking of that, this is how deep they are trying to throw the black man under the bus. There was another show on, I think, Democracy Now!, and they had one of the Bill Cosby accusers, the Cuban one, who they always parade around, Libby, whatever the fuck her name is. Now, I want y'all to listen to this. Now, if y'all want to know the agenda of these white supremacist feminists, I want y'all to listen very close to this. Now, they're talking about the Harvey Weinstein incident, him getting arrested. This is what they're talking about. But they worked Bill Cosby and black men into this thing. Now, this is them. They're supposed to be talking about Harvey Weinstein. But they flipped it and made this shit a vehicle to throw black men under the bus. Listen to this.
I wanted to bring Lily Bernard into this conversation. Lily, you're an actor. You're a visual artist. You accused Bill Cosby of drugging and raping you in the 90s. Bill Cosby was just convicted of 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault in another case. Can you talk about your reaction to the news about Harvey Weinstein being arrested on charge of sexual assault? And
you see, okay, you already see that. They didn't went into Bill Cosby. That nothing to do with Harvey Weinstein, but the Bill Cosby thing is first. Now, Bill Cosby, he was convicted and arrested. Can you talk about Harvey Weinstein a little bit? And this is all scripted. It looks like she was reading, by the way. You see this? I mean, they're desperate, dude. They're desperate to make that false equivalency. But listen.
Rape in the first and third degree, and then your response to what happened to Bill Cosby in court, his conviction.
Sure. Well, if you'll indulge me in speaking through the lens of black womanhood, because black women's lives matter.
Okay, get the fuck out of here. You're Cuban, all right? I'm not going to let folks sit up here and try to use black women. She ain't black. She looks black. She's Cuban. Let's keep that in mind. Whatever fucking name is, she's Cuban. Let's be very clear. When there was the possibility of her getting some money, now she's black. But she's 100% Cuban. She was born in Cuba. Cubans do not identify with black when they get over here. I want y'all to understand that. Keep that in mind. I don't give a fuck how dark a Cuban is. They don't identify with black when they get over here. I'm telling you, if you live in Miami, you will know. This woman is Cuban. I want y'all to understand that. Now, when there's some money to be gained, now they turn into Rachel Dolezal. Well, black women, us black women, we struggled so much. Us black women. So y'all want to latch on to the black woman struggle when you go out of your fucking way to distance yourself from black women and black people. That's some shit we really going to have to check and stop at the door. That's why we're getting these Rachel Dolezals out here and these goofy ass Instagram, whoa, Vicky, and all these people talking about they black and acting a fucking fool. That's some shit we're going to have to cut out. But this woman is Cuban, all right? I just want y'all to keep that in mind. So don't fall for all that. What, the black woman? Ooh, us black women? No, she could give less than a fuck about a black woman. She can give less than a shit about a black woman. Understand that.
Sexual assault and rape in the first and third degree. And then your response to what happened to Bill Cosby in court, his conviction.
Sure. Well, if you'll indulge me in speaking through the lens of black womanhood, because black women's lives matter too, what this Harvey Weinstein indictment has done for me personally is that it's taken me right back to 1492 when rape was the linchpin of colonization and the slavery that sustained the colonization. And bell hooks wrote that.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh, God, it goes back to 1492 and slavery. You're Cuban. You're Cuban. These people identify with Spanish. They think that they're Spanish. You're Cuban. Oh.
That black women are programmed historically to be the sexual latrines of both powerful white men and disempowered black men. And this is...
Did you catch that? Black women are prone to get raped by powerful white men and disempowered black men. She's talking that white feminist bullshit. She's a fucking fraud, man.
...of both powerful white men and disempowered black men. And this is critically important because from a cultural perspective, it's actually against the status quo for black women to speak out publicly against their rapist, particularly when the rapist is a beloved, iconic, black, powerful father figure such as Bill Cosby. Now, more than a third of us Cosby accusers are black women. 26 of us are black women.
No, y'all not. The women who she's calling black, they don't identify with black. None of those women identify with black. That's bullshit that she just said. That's bullshit. Those women don't identify with black. They never identified themselves as black. She just told a bold-faced lie. They did not, and neither did she, they did not identify themselves as black. That's a lie.
Come with great burden because since the Cosby verdict, the vitriol that I and my sisters have been receiving from black, adoring, diehard Cosby fans and rape apologists, I'm sorry to say the majority of whom are black men, has increased tenfold.
I mean, this woman, everything out of her mouth is black men. Black men are rape apologists. I mean, everything out this woman's mouth is shitting on black men. This woman is dog whistling to the white feminist groups, and they got her on there too with her fake fucking afro and the bullshit, the dark makeup. They got dark makeup on her ass. They put her on there to do the shitting on black men. I mean, she's just going all in shitting on brothers on this one. And this is about Harvey Weinstein. Understand, this is supposed to be about Harvey Weinstein. This interview is supposed to be about Harvey Weinstein and everything out of her mouth, black men, rape apologists, black men be coming at me, black men ain't shit. Everything is fucked up about black men, but this is supposed to be about Harvey Weinstein. And it sounds like she's reading, but understand, that's the white supremacists are propping her up. She's propped up by the white supremacists.
That I and my sisters have been receiving from black adoring, diehard Cosby fans and rape apologists, I'm sorry to say the majority of whom are black men, has increased tenfold. And this vitriol is fueled by Bill Cosby's impudence in paralleling himself to the lynched child Emmett Till and into his audacity in likening us to modern-day lynch mobs, to likening us to really white supremacist thugs who target and murder innocent children, women, and men. And this is important. What Harvey Weinstein's indictment does for me personally is that it actually quiets these black men who are attacking me, and it redirects.
The whole thing with Harvey Weinstein helps me quiet black men. I mean, every fucking thing goes back to black men. I mean, this shit ain't even making no sense. I mean, the shit she's saying ain't even making no sense. She's desperately making leaps of logic to throw black men under the bus in this interview. I mean, nothing she's saying, it ain't making sense. There's no correlation. I mean, they just got her on here and said, okay, whatever we throw at you, just swing it back to black men, whatever. Well, Harvey Weinstein, it makes me understand how fucked up black men are. I mean, it ain't even making no sense. But this just gives you and I can't play no, I mean, it just boils my fucking blood to hear this woman and her Rachel Dolezal routine, her fake newfound blackness. They think being black is putting on some tanner and throwing some braids or a fucking afro and some Wakanda beads on you, and that's supposed to be what blackness represents. I can't play no more, man. I just can't. But I'm just giving you an idea of how these white supremacists are getting their damn flunkies to do the dirty work for them and twist these Harvey Weinsteins and all of these other white molesters and rapists and twist the situation into an attack on black men. That's the sexual harassment sleight of hand. Now, this woman is bought and paid for by these white supremacists, that Lily chick. She's bought and paid for by them. And that's what they do. They get their people of color, quote unquote, flunkies, who pretend to identify with blackness. They don't give a fuck about black women, black people, black children. I want y'all to understand that. We have to understand these people who are so-called people of color. We have to understand many of them do not identify with us. They're not trying to help us. They are not our allies. They cannot wait to do the dirty work of the white supremacists. And just because somebody's walking around you with a big fucking afro and tanner, that don't mean that they're down. That does not mean that they're down. And when they start talking all this, but us black women, my sisters, my sisters, my black women sisters, what are you doing for black women? What the hell are you doing? You working with suspected white supremacist lawyers, the Gloria Allreds of the world. They don't try to do anything for black women. But this little Rachel Dolezal game that they're trying to run, and speaking of Rachel Dolezal, did y'all hear about Rachel Dolezal? Her ass got charged for welfare fraud. Rachel Dolezal's ass got charged with welfare fraud. I talked about Rachel Dolezal a few weeks ago. That woman is the finesse queen. That's all she does. That whole thing, this whole pretending to be black, that's just another hustle she has going on. That's just like the old Native American hustle. You have all of these white supremacists out here claiming to be Native American because that's the way for them to get money. They will co-opt the struggles of other people because they know they haven't struggled as a fucking white supremacist. You haven't struggled. You've had every law, policy, legislation written on your behalf to elevate you. Even affirmative action benefits, that benefits more white people than black people. Everything benefits the white supremacists in this country. Every law, every policy. You haven't been disenfranchised at no cost, at no point ever. So what they want to do, and what they always do, they will co-opt the struggle of other groups, of other marginalized groups. So you have all of these lily white supremacists out here talking about their Cherokee and how their Cherokee ancestors struggled and suffered under the U.S. genocide. Well, damn it, you were a part of the oppressor class. But these white supremacists will play the $5 Indian role and finesse the game so they can get free land, get a part of those casinos, get tax-free status. So they know how to finesse. And that's what Rachel Dolezal does. Rachel tried to file lawsuits as a white woman because she said she was discriminated against at the HBCU. Then she tried to say she was discriminated against as a black woman, and that's when she got outed as a white woman. But she's a finesse queen. She uses this shit to come up with different hustles, different scams, and now she's being treated like a nigga. And she's got a serious charge on her because now that she got outed, I mean, she can't, white society ain't gonna really accept it. So now they've outed her. No, somebody in the chat room said Rachel Dolezal is mentally ill. She ain't mentally ill. She's very cognizant of what she's doing. I'm telling you, now she got a felony. She's going to take them braids out. She's going to show up to court looking like Reese Witherspoon. She's going to whiten it up to get in that damn courtroom. She's going to find her whiteness now. She's going to whiten that thing right on up. And speaking of fraudulent behavior, did y'all hear about Donald Trump giving a pardon to the black boxer Jack Johnson? You know, for those who don't know, Jack Johnson was the first heavyweight champion, the black heavyweight champion in this country. Magnificent boxer. And this brother, you know, because they couldn't beat him in the ring, they had to find ways to beat him outside the ring. And that's what they do with athletes, just like the NFL. You can't beat these brothers on the field, so you have to find ways to beat them off the field. That's why the NFL just came up with a new rule where the players have to stand for the national anthem, or they're going to get a fine, or they have an option to remain in the locker room until the national anthem is over. So that's just a way of keeping the Negroes in check. And, you know, Trump and Mike Pence and all these people, they worked and colluded with these teams in order to get these policies in place. You know, they don't want these people protesting racialized police violence. They want to keep black folks on the plantation in their place. And right when they announced this, Donald Trump came up with this little bullshit ass thing where he's going to pardon Jack Johnson for the racialized laws that were levied against him back 100 years ago. And I talked about this in Hidden Colors. They will allow non-justice to happen and then wait 100 years later to pardon you when it means nothing. It's a nothing burger. It's an empty symbolic gesture. It don't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, they created new laws for Jack Johnson, the Mann Act, because he had them white women choosing up on him. And they created something called the Mann Act in 1910, a law against taking women across state lines for quote-unquote immoral purposes, meaning fucking them. You're fucking white women, and if you take them across the state, well, that's like a federal crime now. And that's where the pimping and hoeing laws came in. A lot of pimps at the time, too, they had a lot of white women choosing up on them, and they were making money off these white women, and that's what they use that Mann Act now for black dudes who got a couple of breezes in the stable. If you take them across state lines, that's a violation of the Mann Act. If you have them, you set them down on the track in different states. So the law has always been a racialized law. It's always been a very racialized law. But the thing is, this whole Jack Johnson, could the white women, they were choosing on him so heavy, the white women were committing suicide if they couldn't get with Jack Johnson. That was fucking the white supremacist male up. The white supremacist male, they didn't know what to do with themselves about Jack Johnson, because he was beating the shit out of these cats in the ring. He was beating them so bad, they had to tell him to stop smiling after he won a fight because it was too antagonistic. They had to let him know, if you beat this white man in the ring, don't smile. Don't give us the impression that you just enjoyed beating this white man's ass. Also, with Jack Johnson, a lot of times when he would win his bouts, the white supremacists around the country would go on lynching sprees. They would just go around killing black folks after Jack Johnson beat somebody in the ring, just to assuage their own ego. I mean, this is how Jack Johnson just fucked up the mindset of the white supremacists, because really, during this time, this was at the height of Jim Crow. This is the time where they were talking all of this Aryan white supremacy, this Roman Greek god bullshit. It was that Greek god, the Thor. We come from a superior race of warriors. It was that thing. They were really promoting that at the time. So you had this black man who was supposed to be inferior and all that, beating the fucking brakes out of these white dudes. Just beating the brakes off of them. So they couldn't beat him in the ring, so they had to come up with ways to beat him and other black people outside of the ring, and that's why they started coming up with these bogus laws. And the thing is, with Jack Johnson, he made a grip of money, because they paid a lot of money to see him get beaten. Just like today. Same thing with Floyd Mayweather. Floyd made all that money because you had so many white supremacists wanting to see Floyd get beaten. And Floyd never got beaten. And I mean, they would pay top dollar, and that's why Floyd would talk shit, and that's why Jack Johnson, let's go back to Jack Johnson and look at the parallels. Jack Johnson, he knew flaunting that wealth would make the white supremacists want to see him get beaten even more, and that would make them pay even more money to see him getting beaten. So he would floss that wealth and flaunt that wealth, because that would make the white supremacists say, oh my God, I'll pay anything to see somebody beat this nigger. So his fights were just internationally huge. I mean, huge, huge fights. And this dude made a grip. And because they couldn't beat him in that ring, they had to come up with other bogus ways to get at him. And they do the same thing with black boxers. Out other boxers besides Jack Johnson, with Muhammad Ali. They couldn't beat Muhammad Ali in the ring, so they tried to put the man in jail for not going to the army. They stripped him of his title. They had to do all types of bogus shit outside of the ring with Ali, but Ali stood his ground. Same thing with brother Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, they couldn't beat him in the ring. They had to get him outside the ring on the bullshit. And Floyd, they're always trying to get Floyd on. They locked Floyd up, what on, was it child support or some shit they locked Floyd up. They put Floyd in jail for like a month. Remember that? You dig? But the thing is, them doing this whole symbolic thing where they're going to pardon Jack Johnson, that's an empty symbolic gesture when you have non-justice going on right now that you're not doing anything about. It was domestic violence. Okay, they got they put Floyd in jail because of domestic violence. But that Jack Johnson thing, that was a symbolic gesture that meant absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing. And you know what's interesting? When Donald Trump did that whole signing a pardon for Jack Johnson, they had Sylvester Stallone up there. He was up there right there next to Donald Trump signing the thing. Let me explain something to you, my white listeners and white people listening. I want y'all to understand this, because y'all love parading Sylvester Stallone out. Sylvester Stallone is not a fucking boxer. All right? Get over it. Anytime we're talking about a black boxer, y'all want to bring Sylvester fucking Stallone out. He ain't a boxer. He's an actor. He's not a real fighter. We're talking about some real shit. He's not a real boxer. Y'all got statues of this fucking dude in Philadelphia. He ain't a real boxer. Get over it. I mean, y'all parading him around like he really did something. Stop. I know Rocky is your fantasy. That's sad. It's sad the way y'all need to parade an actor out to compare him to real black folks who put in real work, who have real legacies. And that represents white supremacy. White supremacy is a facade. It's a big ass facade. Y'all always bringing out Rocky. And yeah, speaking of Rocky Marciano, the white boxer, and that's who Rocky based his name off of, Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano was a hack, all you boxing fans out there. And that's another thing. I talk about the real Rocky. They talk about how undefeated Rocky Marciano was. They love and you know, in the movie Coming to America, there was that scene where Eddie Murphy character was like, Rocky Marciano, Rock, y'all always talk about Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano was in bed with the damn mafia, all right? Rocky Marciano used to fight and box during the time the mafia was running boxing at the time. The mafia, he's a fucking hack. A hack means he's a fraud. He beat Joe Louis's ass. Joe Louis was old as hell. And also, with Rocky Marciano, remember, the mafia was controlling everything, so there's documents and statements of people saying that the mafia would tell folks to take dives. That's what they don't like to, they don't like to tell the truth about Rocky Marciano. The mob would help this fucker win fights. They would go and make people take dives for Rocky Marciano. Fuck out of here. Rocky Marciano wasn't shit. Yeah, I know boxing like that. They love talking about some Rocky Marciano. Man, people were made to take dives fighting against him. They were like, hey, on the third round, you better fall out. You better act like Rocky knocked you out. They're throwing fights. Fuck out of here. Rocky Marciano wasn't shit. And they love propping him up. See, they don't tell you the truth. They always tell you the half-ass story. That's how white supremacy works. White supremacy, they always got to have some kind of cheat game going on. There's always a sleight of hand thing going on. And that's the thing with the white supremacists. They have no shame in doing a sleight of hand or cheating. See, the thing is with black folks, we got this thing about everything got to be honorable. Everything got to be on the up and up. The white supremacists understand what Richard Spencer said. It's not about honesty. It's about winning. It's about dominating. Even if we have to cheat. That's how they think. There ain't never been no real great white hope. They ain't never been. Never. Never, 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 never. There has never been. And they know that. That's why they always got to bring Sylvester Stallone little racist ass. Because I put up that clip of Sylvester Stallone calling the black paparazzi member a nigga. He was like, hey, look at this fucking nigga. So Rocky, he's real funny style. So I'm not impressed by no fucking Sylvester Stallone ever. I ain't impressed by him. And that's what they needed, a Rocky movie, because they couldn't beat nobody in real life. So they had to create a damn movie of the little white guy beating up on the black boxers. So they had to create a fantasy world, and they're running with their fantasy. You understand? But they can't beat these guys in the ring, so they always have to come up with ways to beat them outside the ring. And again, that's what they're doing with the whole flag thing. So this is why we just got to be on our game. We got to be on course. We got to be on code with how these white supremacists are operating out here, family. Anyway, y'all, I'm about to get up out of here. I didn't want to be on here too long. I had to chop it up with the family and see what was happening with y'all. I haven't talked to y'all in a few. But I will be doing the live show on Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, everybody, go to melanoidnation.org to get down with the Melanoid Ministries. Make your contribution to the Melanoid Ministries. We're doing some good things out here. Yeah, and speaking of holding your own nuts, I saw that little Tay girl, that little Asian girl, her and her mom, they were on like Good Morning America, something like that. Now, little Tay, she's this little Asian girl who does these videos really mocking black folks, doing this fake hip-hop ghetto talk. It's real insulting. And they had her on there with her Asian mom. My mom act like she can barely speak English. You know, they crying the blues because people are going in on them. And you hold your own fucking nuts. Hold your own nuts. I saw another video because some of these white supremacists are turning on some of the Asian community now. I saw a video the other day where it was a road rage incident where there was an Asian guy driving and he's supposed to be in the military or whatever. He's a military soldier. And some white woman was like, go back. He's from Korea. Or he's Korean. I don't know if he's from Korea, but he's a Korean American. And his some white lady was in a car like, yeah, go back to China, you fucking chink, and go back to fucking China. She was making her eyes look slanted going after the guy. And he put up a Facebook post about it, and they deleted the post and banned his page because I guess that was a violation. So he's trying to get sympathy. And I say to you, sir, hold them nuts. Hold them tight. Don't none of y'all come over here to me or black society trying to get any sympathy. Lil Tay, the guy who was in that road rage incident, don't come over here to us talking about, hey, man, that racism is horrible, ain't it? Man, if y'all don't get the fuck out of here, when all of y'all got together to support Peter Liang after he shot and killed a black man, and all of y'all got together to support your guy to make sure he didn't go to jail, y'all hold your nuts for life on that one, baby. Y'all the last ones I want to see come over here on this side of the game talking about, oh man, ain't it a shame how we treat it? Oh, no. No, no, go right on over there and hold them nuts. Don't come over here. Hold them tight. Don't bring your ass over here. I don't want to hear nothing from none of these other groups. Somebody shot an illegal immigrant the other day, a border patrol, somebody like that, shot somebody coming over the border, and they looking over here at us. Don't look over there. And y'all got Zimmerman walking around, and ain't nobody said nothing to Zimmerman? Turn back around and hold him nuts. Don't come over here when it comes to racial injustice to your group, and y'all have a history of shitting on us. You better hold them nuts over there. I'm not rolling with you. As far as that, when we're talking about racial injustice, now I'm friends with a lot of different groups of people, but when it comes to talking about racial injustice and they want to sit up here and talk about, ooh, look, all of us people of color, what we going through. Nah, I'm good on you. I'm good. I'm real good. Because the thing is, people know what's happening to black folks. People are not, and this is why I always say to black people, let's stop this thing where we are trying to convince people of how bad we got it. I really want us to, we got to cut that out. Everybody know how fucked up we're treated. They like the fact that we're treated fucked up. I want y'all to hear something. There's this Republican lawmaker from New Mexico. I can't remember her name. She's a white woman. And she got pulled over by the police in New Mexico for drunk driving. And what she was saying, she was like, while she was getting arrested, she's doing the white woman crying. She's trying to cry. And she said, well, you're arresting me and you guys treat people of color like shit and I still defend you. I want y'all to listen to this. Listen.
I literally fight for you guys every
minute. I literally fight for you guys. She's talking to the police. She's saying, I fight for you and I support you even though you be harming black folks, basically. Listen.
Well, that doesn't make it okay to drink and drive. Okay.
I fight for you guys every time I get to see you. So many people tell me that you guys treat people like shit, and I didn't believe it.
She said, so many times people said you treat people like shit, and I didn't believe it.
I'm not treating you poorly at all.
You guys treat people of color like shit. I always stand up for you guys.
She said, you guys treat people of color like shit, and I always stand up for you. I want y'all to understand what this woman just said. She's doing the white woman tears. She's crying because she don't want to get the shit on her record. And she's a lawmaker. But she said, you guys treat people of color like shit, and I always stand up for you. So regardless of you treating people of color like shit, I'm still supporting you treating people of color like shit. So she's trying to say, hey, get on code with me. I stand up for you. Throw me a bone. We're white. This is what she's saying. No, he's white. No. He's a white officer. That's the thing. He's white. She's white. So she's trying to say, hey, we're white. Come on. Let's get on code here, buddy. I'm white. You're white. When you do something, when you practice white supremacy, I look out for you. Look out for me. That's what she's saying. She's trying to throw that privilege around. She's like, come on now. She's throwing the white tears. Come on, I got white tears. I'm crying. I'm a white woman. I'm crying. Come on. And he's like, he's doing the right thing as an officer. Like, you drunk? I got to bring you in for being drunk. I'm doing the right thing. I defend you guys and people say you're assholes. And now she's in the jail. I mean, she's in the precinct saying the same thing. She's saying that to the other white officers. You treat people of color like shit, and I defend you. I mean, she keeps saying this. So this woman is like, wait a minute. You're treating me like a nigger. Wait a minute. No, don't treat me like a nigger. Treat the niggers like niggers. But don't treat me like a nigger. I help you treat people like niggers. I'm a lawmaker. I support you when you treat niggers like niggers. So don't treat me like one. I mean, she was using the tears and all that. And let me say this. On the Atlanta Housewives show, you know that Kim Zolciak chick. There was an episode on the reunion where the white woman, her name is Kim Zolciak, she was, you know, doing a lot of little slick talking and all that. So on the reunion show, the sisters were going in on her and they were calling her out on her bullshit. So she goes backstage and she's crying. Oh, she's doing the white tears. And she went to Andy. She was like, Andy, why didn't you defend me? You notice those white supremacist woman tactics that they be using? So she was like, Andy Cohen, you didn't defend me against five African-American women. So she made it about race. Kim Zolciak was trying to talk in code with Andy. She's back there crying, talking about these five African-American women ganging up on me, and you didn't defend me, meaning, come on, man. We're supposed to be white and on code. And understand this. Recently, Andy Cohen did an interview backpedaling like, yeah, I should have defended her. You understand? Andy Cohen recently did an interview saying that he should have defended her. Let me see if I can find that interview very quickly. Where is that? Listen to this. Listen to this. Hold on. Wait for the damn commercials to go through. But I want y'all to hear Andy, because Andy, he ended up getting on code. I guess some other white folks must have got at him, but he started getting on code and he started backpedaling.
Kim was not having an easy time. I really did not have control of the room, and I wish that I had walked off.
God, I want to be Andy right now, just for a moment.
Did you?
It's Justin Diego.
Okay, what? Come on, man. What is this shit? I hope this ain't no bait-clicking fucking video. Hold on. Hold on.
First to see videos that I send out to my most loyal subscribers.
Okay, who the fuck is this? Okay, come on, man. I want to hear what the dude had to say. Hold on. I hate these clickbait videos. Hold on.
Completely against Kim.
Oh, man.
Indy talks about in that bathroom.
Okay, it's some moist nigga talking. God damn. I'm thinking it's the actual video. I fucking hate bait clicking ass people where you think you're about to watch an interview and it's some fucking asshole. Okay, I think this is the real video here. I for people who do that on YouTube, I hate your fucking guts. That's that crispy shit. I hate that. Y'all got to do that clickbaiting bullshit. Hey, watch Andy say something. Hello, guys. My name is Jimmy, and I'm going to talk about this. Shut up, nigga. God, I hate when y'all do that. I fucking hate that. You trying to look up a video and it's some talentless asshole running his damn mouth. Like, damn, oh, let me see what's going on with Morgan Freeman. What up, everybody? I'm going to talk about Morgan Freeman, everybody. God damn, man. All right, hold on.
Atlanta this season, I had a really rough time for the last chunk of that when Kim was on, because it got very, I hate a five against one situation.
Oh, now he's splaining. Andy's splaining a little bit. Oh, he's getting on code with Kim. He's getting on that white coat.
Dude. Yeah, I don't like it because it's a gang up.
Okay, that's bullshit because when the women are ganging up on each other, he's sitting there grinning. Andy, come on, Andy. Andy, come on. Because when the women on there, the black women are ganging up on each other, you're sitting there grinning, my dude. So let's not go there now that the white woman, they didn't win in on her. All of a sudden, well, I don't know. It's 5-1. So now it's a problem. You splaining, bruh. Andy, you splaining, my dude. That's called splaining.
Like and that. The problem is that Kim was not, she, it's less problematic when the person is good at kind of taking up for themselves. Yeah. And Kim was not having an easy time with her
she
words.
She could not defend herself. She was making.
Okay. Oh, no. That's Jenny McCarthy in the background talking. So it's like, those big old black bitches, they know how to take care of themselves, but the frail little white woman, she just don't know. I mean, ooh, it was just so unfair. But those big old burly black slave buck women, they know how to, that's what it sounds like. What you talking about? I mean, what is this coded stuff he's talking about? Like, they know how to defend themselves. An insult or a gang up is a gang up. Come on, Kim don't know how to defend herself. She knows how to talk shit. If you can talk shit, if you can dish it, you need to be able to take that. Y'all don't say nothing when she's talking greasy to folks. And then when folks clap back at her, oh, no, I don't know. She can't defend. Oh, now she's a frail little lamb who don't know no better. That's white-splaining, my dude. That's straight up white-splaining. Hold on.
Not defend herself.
She was making it harder for herself. So the whole thing, it just, and in retrospect, in thinking of it, when it was really, no one was listening to me, and I really did not have control of the room, and I wish that I had walked off of that reunion, because I've never walked off. Everyone else has walked off. And the next day, I was like, damn it, you should have walked off. Like, why didn't you walk off?
Oh, I should have got on that white code. Oh, I should have got on that white coat. That's what he's saying.
That would have been...
You know what, Andy? I have a feeling there might be another opportunity.
There could be another Andy. But I'm telling you, it has to be balls to the walls bad for me to walk off.
Yeah.
I just did Beverly Hills.
Okay. Well, whatever, dude. Okay. They know how to get on code. They know how to get on code with each other. This whole shit about Kim Zolciak being this little innocent lamb. Now, Kim talked major shit against folks. She made little slick comments, and then when folks hollered at her about that, all of a sudden, she's too frail for you to holler at her about her bullshit. You see, they stick on code. See, y'all Negroes, you think just because you're pansexual or whatever you are, you think that you got some kind of intersectionality privilege that don't exist. These people in the dominant white society from all sexual backgrounds are still on team white supremacy, and y'all black asses, no matter what type of sexual experiments you're into, you are still a victim of white supremacy, whether you want to accept that or not. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. Everybody, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti at 1804movie.com. The summer is coming, man. Y'all need to get your international player sunglasses at TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. And also, if y'all want things to be done, or you want us to continue to do things in the community, y'all be sure to hit up the Melanoid Ministries at MelanoidNation.org. Make your contribution to the Melanoid Ministries. And we are out. I will holla at you guys this Sunday on the live stream. Y'all be good.